back. WNST, Baltimore Positive. We're Al Fresco. We're at State Fair. I wore the shirt. It's a little warm today. It's too hot outside today, guys.
I'd have worn a shirt, but I don't have a shirt.
I know a guy that might have a shirt.
Okay, we'll see.
We are in Catonsville. We are on the 21228. We called this a Catonsville celebration. That was until Jeff came and gave me a hard time. He better sell my place. Evan, I know, will at least make the day great. You can't guarantee that by the end of the day, my condo is going to sell, but Evan can guarantee by the end of the day, I'm going to have chicken and waffles because I've already had them.
Correct, check.
And by the end of the day, crab cake. You are the third stop. There's a second stop at Cost. It's sort of a secret stop along the way.
Okay.
But, I this has been inspired by some of our gastronomic conversations about El Guapo, which I put in the background here. You like that? It's also an advertisement for Stephen Pace, whoever. This seems like a nice guy next door there. But El Guapo is open across the street, and we have crab cakes, outdoor, like, this is what you built the place for. It just came like a year and a half late, right?
It did, yeah. Absolutely. So, Guapo's doing great, and State Fair is really moving along nicely, too. We have this huge tent that we're sitting in right now, which has worked out nicely through COVID, so... Yeah,
works out better when I test the mics ahead of time.
I know,
that's fine.
It's nice.
Yeah, my mic's working. Well, we're out here, and I'm trying to get everything together. It's the first time I've touched the equipment. Don, my software stopped working, right? Like, the license on my software expired. I found that out at 5 a.m. because I have not used this equipment. It, like, honestly, it still smells like a Fadley's crab cake. And I mean that in a really, really good way. I mean, because we've had a lot of Fadley's crab cakes on this tablecloth.
We absolutely have had a lot of Fadley's crab cakes and a few oysters on this tablecloth.
All right, well, we're gathered today to not only just celebrate crab cakes, we have a lot of Catonsville people by, but Evan, honestly, for you and what your place represents for us, which was the first sponsor we had 2.5 years ago, we came out here. You're a Catonsville guy via Ellicott City in sort of the uncomfortable way. I mean, twice flooded out down at Portales.
Yep.
Some thoughts about having something normal, because you did not envision using these parking spaces as a significant part of your outdoor al fresco. We didn't think we'd be out here doing it. Maybe over there, but not over here.
Right, yeah, I mean, with the floods, it really taught us a lot of stuff with the ability to pivot. So when COVID came around, this tent went up. We had some ideas of what we could do to make people feel more comfortable outside. And it really came along nicely. And this place has done really well so far, and hopefully we continue to. And Catonsville's really supported us. Ellicott City's supported us. So, and surrounding areas.
Again, we're with Evan Brown, the owner of State Fair, El Guapo, and the soon to be opened new themed restaurant up the street. We'll
That's
see
right.
if Evan wants to talk yeah. about that later. And we're with Jeff Moeller and Moeller and Gary Realtors. Evan, folks, when they hear us talk flood, we assume that everybody is aware of what we're talking about.
Well, we saw the video and saw all the violence of it. Yeah, violent it was.
Talk about the timeline of the floods from the first one until the second one. When did the floods take place in Ellicott City?
It was the end of July, 26th, I think.
2016,
that was the first one. That was crazy. That was a Saturday. I remember that. We went down there. I was working. I had just left, picked my wife up. We were going to go get dinner. It started to pour. We're driving down 95. We were going to Cali Burger or something. And it was really just dumping rain. And I was like, oh, I'm going to call the restaurant and just see. Because we had a river that ran under the building where the water level is. And I called and they said, the water level is rising. I said, okay. You know, that's normal. Just check the basement, things like that. And probably 10 minutes later, I get a phone call. And it's like, there's water spilling in this building. And I said, what? And they said, it's everywhere. And I said, okay. So, you know, Columbia to Ellicott City is 10 minutes. I get down there. And it's something I've never seen before, with like this wall of water going down Main Street. And I was up by Manor Hill Tavern and just looking downward. And it was like, you know, you saw this huge, like, 5-foot wall of water just going
like
down the river.
Literally like a chocolate river.
It looked like a chocolate. Yeah, it was crazy.
Well, I remember that. Jeff, you'll remember that night because we were at, and you probably know him well, longtime Catonsvillian, Tom Carey. It was Tom's 40th birthday party. And we were down in Fells Point, and Linda and I walked out from the birthday party, and it was pouring rain, and Fells Point was beginning to be covered with water, and we're going, well, this is kind of crazy, and sort of had to navigate ourselves carefully out of that. And we get home. When we go to bed, I mean, it's pouring and not really thinking. And we wake up in the morning, and then all hell is broken loose. I mean, do you remember that night, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, I remember coming home that night, and, you know, my wife was on her phone saying, oh, my goodness, like, look at these videos of Ellicott City. And you're like, what? I mean, it was raining, but you had no idea that something like that could happen. It was amazing.
It was like Universal. If you've been to Universal before, you see where they dump the water down the town, and it kind of like washes out real quick, and you're sitting there watching that.
So take us through the next morning, Evan.
What year? Give me the date on this.
16. July 16.
July 16.
2016. Okay. So you and your wife had been out. You get reports that water is coming in. Now the storm passes, and Ellicott City, as we know it, it's not an exaggeration, is wiped out. Talk to me as an owner when you go in and see the damage for the first time.
Well, I saw it that night. I mean, as soon as the water kind of receded, we walked down, and, you know, you walk up to the front of this building, and one, it's like, it's a very surreal experience. You are walking down, and people are just kind of coming out of their homes and walking up the hill, but they have like this blank face, like it's the wall, like Pink Floyd's Wall, where they have those people with like
ashen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just wandering up the street, you know, with their things, and you walk into the restaurant, you kind of, no windows are in there, and all the equipment's all twisted up, and no tables, no chairs. And you just kind of, it sets in for a second. Like, you realize at that point, like, we need to get cash out of the safe, which is what we thought to do. And then we walked around and tried to get to higher ground. And when we got to higher ground, there were, like, people in the river holding on to trees that people started, like, fishing out. And that was a weird experience. And then it kind of went into the evening. And it was 11 o'clock then. Went home, kind of tried to get some sleep, and woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning, said to my wife, we need to get down there. I need to make sure everything's good. And she's like, you need to rest. Like, you know, you kind of know what happened. There's not a whole lot of stuff there. We'll get down there. We'll get this taken care of. But you don't need to go right now. I said, no, someone's going to steal from us. She's like, nobody's going to steal from you. So I get in the car. She's with me. We go down there, and we walk up to this, you know, the back entrance of Portales, and there's a girl walking out with an arm full of liquor. And I said, am I dreaming right now? It seems like I'm dreaming right now.
So much for the nobody will steal from you.
Right. And Lauren was sitting there.
It's amazing. After this, there's a whole bunch of people that thinks opportunity.
There was one person, and it was one girl, and she was in there taking dirty plates, the worst, like, Crystal Palace, like, cheapest vodka, just to kind of go in and take something. The picture's off the wall. I mean, it's very strange, the stuff that she took. But, I mean, at that point, it was just kind of like,
have at
know,
it.
What, yeah, I mean, what's left to take, take.
You're going to have a hangover from that anyway.
If you want it, it's yours. I'm happy to give it to you.
Did you that first time, Evan, and your partners, did you have to have a discussion about whether or not to rebuild the first time, or was it just simply, hey, this is awful, but it happens every 1,000 years, we're going to go back and get them?
That's
again
what was kind of sold to us.
And this, you believed that it was 1,000?
Sure.
You,
I mean, it? I've never seen anything like it in my life.
Okay.
Agnes was different, with a backup of water, not this water coming down the whole main street. We saw flashes of it at different times in 11 and 14 with really bad rainstorms when it went to, like, the curb, but never almost the second floor. And, it was just, we didn't think twice. It was kind of like, yeah, let's do this again. You know, we had a nice group of people that came through. Portales was a beautiful building.
Insurance and government worked together. That was, it was a happier story putting it together the second time because people helped?
Insurance didn't pay us anything, and the government or county government gave us, I think, like a $5,000 grant or something. So, no, not really.
No help.
Not really. Yeah.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know. Really. I wonder how people get back.
So you're really on your own.
So we're on our own. And the landlord, who his name is Mike Baldwin, he's a phenomenal person. He went in there and he started rebuilding the whole thing. And that's really when he rebuilt it for us. To go
See,
in
I knew
there
was a phenomenal person in there somewhere.
You know, Mike
I knew somebody did something.
Oh, there are a lot of heroes.
Yeah, there's a lot of good people that helped us through the process. The Hook family, Chesapeake Premier, we know them. Josh Liberto with those guys. Yep. They all came in there and donated their time to help rebuild this place. And they did a phenomenal job with it. And, you know, 18 months later, we get it open. And we start going through the holiday season. And we get to May. And we're coming up on the anniversary next week. And that's the second flood. So we got about 6 months into it, and then the exact same thing happened.
That was 3 years ago this month?
My first weekend as county executive.
Since Kevin dies, and then Ellicott City floods.
Kevin passes away.
In within 10 days of each other.
The council appoints me as county executive, and in the first few days, a beloved, outstanding young police officer by the name of Amy Caprio is run over and killed out in Perry Hall. And then a day or two later, the floods, the storm hits again on a Sunday afternoon. I call it the Memorial Day storm. Yep. I can remember sitting in my family room. I'll tell you how localized that storm was. I'm sitting in my family room, and I've never seen it rain harder in Catonsville. And now I'm getting concerned, and I call the fire chief because I'm...
Well, he's in charge now, too. It's a little different.
Right. And I call the fire chief, who lives in Kingsville, up near the Harford County line, and I go, "Chief, are we on top of this?" And he goes,
on top of what, Don?
And I go, no, Carl, are we on top of this storm? He goes, I'm out back with hamburgers and hot dogs on the grill. What are you talking about? So he's having a family cookout on Memorial Day, and he's not even aware at this point. The communications hadn't even started to evolve because the storm probably lasted.
Because the skies blew on the other side of the city.
Well, it probably lasted an hour or two.
It was a little under an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, the storm did not last two hours, and it literally destroyed Ellicott City again. And large swaths, without an exaggeration, mm-hmm. of Ella and Catonsville. It was difficult. Now, Jeff's a realtor. It was difficult to find a basement or a business in Catonsville that wasn't flooded.
Right. A lot of refinished basements in the 21228.
Yep, right. Absolutely.
After that.
I mean, everybody.
Sure.
I mean, it was...
I got flooded out of White Marsh. The reason I moved downtown and I have my condo to sell to you was... I got married in July, and in September, my wife and I went out to San Diego. And if you remember, the Ravens, it was the Chris McAllister getting thrown off the team week. We went out to San Diego early because it was going to – the Ravens went early. We went out. We came home. I was home a week, and I started to smell something, and I hadn't been in my basement. And I walked down in my basement a week after we got – 5 days after we got back, and I heard – whoosh,
it's the worst.
Mold growing up the wall, smelled like a sewer, and I'm like, oh boy. So, I mean, I had that experience in this, and it was, you know, like $25,000 in damage, you know, to the basement, and then I'm like, we're selling, we're out of here. Mm-hmm. So, some pump failed. So, I mean, floods are, I mean, my radio station's at a point, we get water in the basement, you know, more than we should because of the water shelf there and where it is. I mean, everything, right? I mean, it's just... It's complete rebuild when you fly. So the second time it happens, give me what happens the morning after that. So we're 3 years ago next week, right?
Yeah, correct.
You didn't think you'd be out here with the three of us doing this, right?
Correct.
I did not, actually.
3 years ago.
You weren't thinking I'm going to be a Catonsville entrepreneur.
I didn't. But the next
You're getting a lamb shank ready for dinner.
Yeah. Hey, man, I'll eat a lamb shank anytime. Those things are good. The next morning we kind of... It was a path that we've traveled before, so we kind of said, okay, well, this is a Sunday. They're probably going to start cleaning the next week. Let's start organizing people to get in here to start cleaning. And that was kind of the only thing. We went in there. We knew the basement, which held, you know, the walk-ins and all our inventory was gone. We knew all our kitchen equipment was messed up and gone. The windows were all broken. It was the same thing, but it was more of a daytime storm, so you got to see it during the day instead of at night. That was the only difference.
You have to wait all night to see the damage.
Right, yeah. I mean, I saw it in real time right when it happened. I was standing across the street watching it happen. A huge group of people showed up on Sunday or Saturday when
we
started
cleaning.
At what
point do you decide to hit higher ground? I mean, seriously, the second time around. That's a hell of a question.
The second time. I mean, it really was the second time. It's like, okay, well, the first time it's a 1,000-year storm.
Right.
Oh, look,
No, I mean physically. Where were you?
I was on top of a building across the street.
What took you to the top of the building?
So you had to park on the back road because you couldn't access Main Street. So I went down, and you could only see so far into Main
Street.
You
came when it started raining?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you weren't there when before it rained?
No, so we were moving into a house in Catonsville. And
I'm thinking
we were
if you're in there serving lunch or whatever, what...
We were meeting a Verizon guy here. It started raining. I said, wow, this is going to happen again. I need to go down to Ellicott City.
It happened so quickly, Nestor. My granddaughter was working at Bean Hollow, and she was the manager at that time, and her shift was over, and she literally left, if I recall correctly, I don't want to exaggerate it, but I want to say maybe 90 minutes, yeah. 2 hours.
And it was beautiful and sunny.
Yeah, I mean, she,
like this.
She literally like this. Walked away. Had it been 2 hours later, like Evan's saying, she would have been trapped looking for higher ground. I mean, remember, yep. there was loss of life
right.
in this storm. I mean, cars were washed down. A National Guardsman who tried yep. to save someone.
Eddie
Edwards was his last name, I believe. Was killed being heroic.
Well, that's what I've seen. The violence of a storm like that in the middle of it, when you're at the bottom of the hill and you're just thinking it's raining.
Right.
I don't think anybody in Ellicott City would think it's the first time you think it's raining. The second time,
there's trigger points to what you know as it happens, and it has everything to do with the rivers. So there's a river obviously at the top, and it kind of winds down underneath the buildings and through the back of the portales and underneath the Phoenix. And you start to watch the water kind of divert from the river onto the main road. And when you start to see
that
means you go up. So and one of our servers here was actually, he ran down in the basement and started lifting stuff up. And again, the way they rebuilt Portales was insane. It was like concrete block, reinforced block. Like they even connected the areas that separated the two buildings.
They convinced so you if it happened again, it wouldn't happen to you.
It would just be a little bit safer.
Right.
So the water actually started building up in the side of the building, and it blew the door in. It was a steel door. It blew the door in like 15 feet, and then water started rushing in. Well, the server that we had was in the basement, and the door only opened out. So he's in this thing, like, water's coming
that's
in. He can't open the door.
That's the fear that I had.
A young man that we've had on a number of times, the outstanding New York Times reporter, Luke Broadwater.
Yep.
Luke's parents live on Homehurst Avenue, not very far, right down here as you go towards the Beltway off Frederick Road. The storm... Literally, Evan's talking about blowing off the back door at Portales. It blew the back of their house out. The water blew the back of their house out. So it was insane.
Yeah.
At this point then, again, we're with Evan Brown, the owner of State Fair, Jeff Moeller, Moeller and Gary Realtors. At this point, Evan, you look at your wife and say, I'm done. I don't have a third rebuild in me.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you go into some sort of like a shell. You know, there is... PTSD is real. I swear I had it after the first one because I was kind of in this daze for like 3 months. I've been told. The second one was the same sort of scenario where it was just kind of quiet and observing. But then it came to the point where it was, you know, the county's buying the building. And that's the best thing the county could have done was come in there and say, hey, we're buying the building from the landlord. Sorry. You know, that's kind of what's happening. And it made the decision very, very, right. very easy.
But this isn't the same concept.
No, not at all.
When I met you brought it. This was a friendlies.
Yeah,
I tried to explain that. And by the way, Evan, I should tell you.
It was anything but friendly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For 10 years, people were like, please, can somebody else?
What is this thing going to be?
It wasn't Jim Dandy is what you're talking about.
Oh, my gosh.
You know?
Yeah,
it was more on the fribble side.
Right.
You know, I would say to you, it's been funny this week, because I have your shirt now. And this is dangerous, right? Because I wear this on the videos and... I took the picture of the chicken and waffles when you were out catching that rockfish, and I'm sure we'll get to. I better get that on my plate at some point with some lemon and wine sauce and some umami. And I would just say for you, 3 years ago, we come in here, whatever your vision was for friendlies and for what this could have been or would have been, I would say... It's a testament to what maybe post-pandemic could be for people, right? 3 years ago, you get wiped out, and you're thinking, oh, my God. And that's 3 years ago this week, literally, right?
Yep.
Don's running the county. Kevin had just passed away. I'm doing sports. And then 3 years later, we've been through this pandemic, through this awful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're working on episode 3 up the street. El Guapo's in the way if I can get Jeff's head out of the shop. That's right. It's right over here. Right over here. That's not me on the sign.
Right.
Yeah, right. That's not. But... But I guess the sun comes out again, right? I mean, even when you have these horrific things, it's a different vision and a different dream. I mean, that's nothing more Baltimore positive than that, period.
I mean, there's two things. Like, you can create something that doesn't work, and that's kind of on your ideas and your thoughts that the community didn't take to. Or a storm can destroy your business. And the storm destroyed the business. Keith, who is always the person that's kind of behind the scenes that isn't mentioned, but... It's a big...
I'm going to start calling you Mick.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's Keith, right?
He is great at what he does in these kitchens, and the two of us together work very, very well. And we just kind of took a look at what we thought Catonsville would want and what we would want to go to and created that. And it just took off farther than we ever thought it would.
You know, and Nestor, I have to give, and I want to turn to Jeff because we've jumped to pandemic, but I also want to give a shout-out to the folks at Booth Properties when we talk about businesses and small businessmen and how they make a difference, businessmen and women. They could have, before reaching an agreement with Evan and Keith to bring State Fair here, they had a number of what I'll call, and I don't want to name the franchises, but lesser institutions that would not have done for the Catonsville Village what this did. And they had the patience. They could have taken the dollars and run early and just been done with it and had someone that would pay the rent.
There are people here that say, let's make something special here.
And I
knew he would get to be in the mayor today.
Right.
And I knew we would bring relatives.
So,
because there's no way we could do that here.
Tom Booth and Joanne Tom passed away far too soon. But the folks at Booth Properties, Bruce Meiser, who's their general manager, so to speak, they really did a great job. So, Jeff, we go through this. Evan rebuilds. There are so many things that are counterintuitive. It's funny, as you sat down today, you said you're celebrating 20 years in the real estate business. I'm just going to go lay down in a fetal position. I have a son that's been in the real estate business?
20 years?
Sell your condo.
I'm
going to sell your condo.
But, my man.
But one of the things.
It's my hair. If I shave, will it help sell it?
I thought saying, hey, this is Nestor's condo, it would be gone by now.
Talk about, Jeff, the last 18 months, because I think, Peter, people find it counterintuitive. You and I don't talk your business very often, but when we did, you said it's been counterintuitive in that the real estate market really not only survived, but in many ways thrived over the past 18 months. So describe how that happened.
Well, that's a great question. So when the pandemic hit, you know, my thought, and I think a lot of realtors thought, was, oh, my goodness, we're going to be in some serious
trouble. Nobody's going to have money to buy anything.
Nobody's going to have money. Nobody's going to want anybody going in their houses. Nobody's going to want a list. We better buckle down. Well, what happened was the complete opposite. You know, rates started to drop, and people started to get the idea that this is a wonderful time to go get a great deal on a house. The problem with that was that it was a large group of people who had that same thought. So they jumped into the market, and because of that, there weren't great deals to be had. There was actually competition for so few listings.
Well, the great deal is off the rate. The rate makes everything feel like a great deal.
Right.
2% money is different than 4% money than 8.75 that old Nestor had back in 86.
Right.
Dom, what was your rate on your first mortgage?
You know, on the first, you know,
go back that far.
No. I've actually been meaning to go look that up. Nestor, I do know for a fact. I was with some folks recently who, I guess it was back in the 80s. They were talking about paying 17 and 18% for a mortgage.
I paid 8.75 on my first one. I felt good about it.
17 or 18%.
And I got a break from the government because I was a first-time buyer. I was 18.
Lucky you.
So FHA, baby.
In this market, Jeff, I'm imagining, particularly in areas that are in high demand, that it's not unusual to have multiple offers on homes?
Every one almost, you're going to have multiple offers. So what becomes important, there's a lot of factors. If you have a buyer or a seller who's trying to win that bidding war,
make sure they're qualified.
You got to make sure they're qualified.
See, I took a real estate class at Dundalk Community College.
You have to be savvy. So what's happened in this market is you've had a lot of people, you know, say, oh, I want to be a realtor, and they get into the business and they flooded the market with all these inexperienced realtors. Well, what's happening now is that they're not winning these bidding wars because they don't have the savviness to understand how to construct.
I assume they don't have the relationships.
Well, that's the key. I can't tell you, you know, and this is, I'm going to go back to Evan real quick before I go to that point. And this is what makes Evan great, and this is what makes people want to go to Evan, is that he commits time and donates money to Catonsville. And he did it at Portales. He's done it at State Fair. He's doing it at El Guapo. He's been a proud sponsor of the Birdies for Bladders Golf Tournament. He's sponsored my wife's turkey trot race. And the great thing about Evan, I didn't even approach him for Birdies for Bladders. He sent me a text saying, hey, what's the sponsorship? What's the highest sponsorship I can do? And that's just what he does, not just for me, but for a lot of other people who live in Catonsville. So if you get a guy like that, heck yeah, I'm going to his restaurant. Of course I want to support him because he's reaching out and supporting the community.
I come because the food's good. I mean, that's true. And the good weather.
Right. You know. But you want to support good people like that. So in this market, as a realtor, you want to work with good realtors. And there's, you know, look, there's a lot of good realtors out there, but there's a lot of bad ones. And in a competitive market, if I have 20 offers on the table, and that's not unheard of, and, you know, I have a realtor who I have a really good relationship with, and, you know, maybe their offer isn't quite as good, but I know how that deal's going to go. I know that everybody's going to be satisfied. It's going to be smooth.
July 16th, you're going to have a closing, and everybody's going to be happy.
Exactly.
That's what you need.
That's it. Yeah, right. And everybody knows. So you
Let's
know
get it's, this done in 60 days right. and get it over with.
I mean, I had one the other day that, you know, multiple offers, and an agent who doesn't have the best reputation, you know, didn't get it.
And I don't eat at his place.
And, well, so, and that's the way it goes.
You I don't know, eat there
anymore. You want to work with good people. You want to work with and you know, you can't be, if you have a realtor who views everybody else as a competitor, you're going to lose, you know. So you have to view the other realtors as coworkers, you know. And I'm thankful that there's a lot of good local realtors that I'm close with. And we love working with each other. And we each have our own client base. And whenever we have a listing, we're like, hey, we'll reach out and say, hey, do you have
Sports
a buyer?
Sports Talk guys don't do that.
Right.
We don't.
You could barely.
I believe that.
Well, Jeff, what do you tell people? I think one of the things we get our listeners out there now, and again, we're with Jeff Moeller, owner of Moeller and Gary Realtors, Evan Brown, owner of State Fair. When folks now, particularly in this market, mm-hmm. that's clearly a seller's market, what do you tell folks to do to get their homes or their condos ready when you walk through? What advice do you give them? What should they be thinking about?
Well, because of the market, it's a little bit different. You know, before things were crazy, you would go in, you know, with Moeller and Gary, you know, we have a stager, we have a professional photographer. You know, I know what it is that we need to do, and you have to be smart enough to be able to outsource some of these things. Like, you know, I can't go in and be the stager as well, because there's a professional stager who knows it a lot better than I do.
Right.
You know, I can know the market, I can know the numbers, I can tell them what I think it'll sell for and give projections, but you got to have a really good team around you. So some of that's still true, but your house has to be clean, it has to be decluttered. I tell people all the time, you know, a lot of people like to go to model homes. When you walk into a model home, you know, what do you see? A lot of model homes don't even have doors on the rooms. People don't even realize that. They take the doors off, so it makes it feel like it's more open, you know, to the bedroom. So they try to, you know, be open, clean, airy.
I'm making a note to myself right now.
So
those fake flowers my wife put out the other night that the cat got into and pulled the bird off and kept me up all night, that's not helping sell the place.
That is not helping.
I tried to convince her of that about 4 a.m. when I was awake, yes.
We'll focus on the views at your place, right? So, it's different. And that's what a good realtor will do. It will say, hey, you don't have to spend this money right now because I know I'm going to have 30 showings by the end of the weekend, and we're gonna have multiple offers to the point where when you list a property, you'll say, "Hey, I'm presenting offers on Tuesday," because you just you know what's gonna happen. So,
any end in sight for this market? It doesn't appear to be.
When rates go up, right?
I think 6 to 12 months, you're gonna be maybe not as bananas as it is right now.
Still busy.
It's going to be strong. To your point, when we started this conversation, when the pandemic started in March, when people thought they were getting great deals, and there weren't really great deals to have because everybody thought they were going to get a great deal.
Right.
Well, they actually did, because the values of homes in March, as opposed to last March, as opposed to now, it's gone up. I sold a condo in Ocean City and went up $20,000 in value in a month. And then they start to think about, well, maybe I should sell because now I just. And this is the easiest money I've ever made, but it'll correct a little bit. But I don't. There is no bubble like there was last time, because people are putting 20% down.
Right.
The loans are different.
Yeah, qualified people are buying.
Right.
I mean, that was the thing before.
So
as long as the economy stays and they have jobs,
right.
2, 3, 4 years, they'll pay their mortgage.
Right.
Well, I was just with folks this morning at another meeting, and it's funny. They were all, obviously, the conversation appears to always turn to real estate right now. They were all talking about their Zillow estimates. And I'm thinking, if I'm a realtor, when people have all these Zillow, are Zillow estimates helpful or not helpful? Or are they?
They're the worst. They're the absolute.
Why have no comparable?
Yeah, well, tell folks what a Zillow estimate is and why you're not a fan.
The Zillow can be off by 20% one way or the other. You know, and the reason why I hate it is that Zillow, it's a calculation. and it doesn't take into account what's in your home, what your home looks like, what, you know, what's going on in your neighborhood at the time. Right. It could
what
take,
your view looks like.
Yeah, the school districts. Right. It doesn't take your view. It doesn't take any of that into account.
The hot tub in the corner, the oversized shower.
Yeah, the amazing view.
Whose condo are we talking about? Whose condo are we talking
about? If there was only a place like that on the market right. for under $500,000, that would
sounds
be an
like
amazing
you know, someone said
amazing
to me the
bargain.
Other day, that's $1 million view. You know what I said? Right. Half price.
That's
half price.
Absolutely.
That's what I say. Jeff is here. Evan's here. I kind of want to extend, but everybody asked me, and Evan, you asked me this, because everybody knows I'm moving and I'm making a big shebang. We're like, where are you going? Where are you going? And I'm like, does everybody ask everybody buying a house? Because to
yeah.
me,
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's an absurd yeah. question because I don't know. Because I don't know what's going to be available once I get rid of my place. Because you might sell it today. You might sell it Monday. You might sell it 3 months from. I don't know. And then it's going to be about, like everyone else, what's available then.
Right. Well, here's why people ask, Nestor, is that if they say, where are you going?
I don't know.
And you're going to the building next door, they're going to say, well, why are you going to the building next door? Why aren't you just going to stay here?
So maybe there's, they have a balcony.
Maybe. Or maybe there's something wrong with your... You know, so people are... They want to know why it is that you want to leave. If I go into your condo and I love it, and I think it's amazing, and I can't imagine why you would want to leave.
Oh, right. Okay.
You're like, well, why are you leaving?
Someone died, divorced, new right. job, moved
somebody get
town.
Murdered in...
Right.
Somebody
right.
get
right.
murdered
right.
in
right.
the kitchen.
Yeah, you
no,
want
to
I
want
to leave
know.
Because my wife wants to grow vegetables outside. We want to have an outdoor space to go get a coffee. Like, a deck would be fine. And then there's the part where, like, well, if we would move outside at a grill, I like
right.
to cook,
right?
Right? So, I mean, you know, and I've watched Guy Fieri all summer doing his outdoor thing, and I watch all these manly men, you know, with their aprons and all that, you know, flipping stuff outside. There's a part of that that I would like to... I've lived 20 years in the sky. It's unbelievable. I'll miss it. I probably won't like the place I go as much, but I like it because it's different. In the right. same way that I might not have, you know, your crab cake is going to be... a great crab cake, but I, you know, it's going to be different than every other crab cake.
Yep.
So for me, variety is part of like my jam about these crab cakes because everybody wants me to rate it, what's the best and all that, and I'm like, no, you know. So you're bringing a crab cake later, right, before the show's over.
Whenever you're ready.
What do you have up your, this is crab cake tour number 3.
Yeah, you're going to get a baked crab cake and then a fried crab cake, which is my argument as to which one's better.
Well, Evan, do you agree, our good buddy, the editor-in-chief, we call her the chief, of Baltimore Magazine, Max Weiss, said that here's where she's come down on crab cakes mm-hmm. at this point, is that it's almost impossible, and this is what Nestor's going to experience this summer, almost impossible to get a bad crab cake in Maryland, but almost as impossible.
Oh, look at both of them.
Oh, look at them. Oh.
Almost.
I think you can get
wait,
bad
let
ones.
Me finish. Let me finish. Let me finish. She would say, but it's almost as impossible to get a good one outside of Maryland. So let's take the easy one.
That's
we'll
true.
Start with
I've
the
never
easy
had
one.
A good one outside.
So
of Maryland.
I'll tell you a very quick story. Yeah. I was up in Gettysburg with my wife and a couple last Thursday, and they had a Maryland-style crab cake.
Maryland-style. That's the
style.
Giveaway.
Right.
Is
and
that
I said,
like cheese food?
That's the
like
giveaway.
I don't know what it was, but
like
I definitely bit into it.
Milk dairy product, it's not ice cream? Is it kind of the same?
Yeah. Yes. Because I've had it in Newport Beach where they have a Maryland crab cake that they just said Maryland crab cake. I don't know what it was. It was like a puck of something, but it wasn't a crab cake. And the same thing, you know, this past week.
But what do you
was
think?
My favorite.
What do you think? And again, I like the crab cake here. It's funny. Jeff's son is addicted. My grandson Jake is. I think if he had, he could eat the crab cake every day from here.
From here. So you're. So
oh, he loves the crab cake.
Oh, he loves it.
He
loves it.
He's eating a lot of crab other. Does he have a discerning palate to some degree? Has he had a whole different kind of crab cakes?
Oh no. He's had Pappas. He's had Coco's.
Okay, so he's had a lot of crab cakes.
He's had G&M. So he's had a lot of crab cakes.
Fadley's. He's had them all. Yeah.
He loves the crab cake sandwich.
I mean, when I had the Shirley Temple over at Squires, I thought it was it, but then I realized it's just Shirley Temple.
No, no. He loves the crab cake. So my question is, Evan. When you and Keith sat down and you said, okay, we had a crab cake at Portales. Now we're going to
I did this with him at El Guapo.
We're going to have a crab cake at Safe Air. What's the key to a good crab cake?
In my personal opinion, egg whites, yellow mustard, white bread.
Ooh, white bread.
Salt, pepper,
because Miss Nancy was saltine.
See, there you go. Everything's a little different. in
Everything's
there.
Everything's different. I mean, I've had people argue
I have not
Ritz
had
crackers.
Your crab cake.
Mm-hmm. Ritz crackers, right.
Let me give a little plug for you, and this will be fun because it involves some of my Dundalk friends. One of my Dundalk friends wants to look at my condo, right? She's pre-qualified. It's okay. I figured this
you
much
sure, you're sure about that.
I'm pretty sure.
Jeff, you better get involved right now.
She's divorced. Trust me. So, she said to me, I kept seeing the State Fair, and I saw the chicken and waffles because I put that picture up last week. And somehow she said, I haven't been to the State Fair in years. And then someone else said to me, I thought you were like at a fair. And then I saw F-A-R-E, and I'm like, and then I saw the flag. So I'm telling you, like, this thing here starts to sell it more as a gastronomic sensation that it is in out here. But the crab cake, this is... I haven't had your crab cake, but I've had your chicken thing where you put the crab thing over it.
Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous.
The chicken and crab, yeah.
Ridiculous. I mean, I had that with the Brussels sprouts.
Yep. Chesapeake, yeah.
The Chesapeake Club with the shrimp salad and the crab cake.
No, not the sandwich. Oh. No. He's talking about the
blackened chicken with
you haven't had that?
With the crab meat. It's good. It's very good.
Okay. You haven't had the blackened chicken with the crab here?
I've never had it.
He's looking at me like, you haven't had the crab cake.
It sounds fantastic. I've not had it.
I get the chicken and waffles. I had it this morning. So, I came in this morning so hungry and so beautiful out, and I knew we'd be outside. I'm so excited to be here, right? Like, I'm excited, even though, like, some of the equipment wasn't working, but it's working now.
You handled that really well,
you
too.
You did.
Totally laser-focused. Hey, he was.
Totally random.
That's why he's so successful. He's attention to detail. Well,
no, but I was hungry, so I ate the chicken and waffles, and then I realized...
You were acting like you were still hungry when you were worried about the equipment. Like, you get hangry? I thought you were just hangry.
He's just ready for a crab cake.
Well, I think so.
I know Jeff has...
I don't like anybody effing with my ish.
We know this. We know that Jeff has to run and sell houses and get your condo. So before you run...
Yeah, go sell my condo.
Before you run and before...
Does a shirt come with the condo? The purple one? That one. I think if that conveys with the property, I think it can happen by the end of the day.
I can get the shirt for under $100. So sell it. I'll get it. What do you need? A large?
Okay. Depends on the buyer.
Before you run and get back to work, since such a beautiful day, you and the boys yesterday, and totally random, but I thought it was a neat story, went to watch some high school baseball. You went to the, MIAA playoffs, and Gilman was playing.
Yep.
Who were they playing?
They were playing John Carroll.
John Carroll.
Yep.
And describe the scene with the Major League Baseball scouts, because you sent me a picture, and it was like, I thought, oh,
who are they there to see?
Well, a kid named Peter Hubeck. Okay. And you know, Jake's going there next year to Gilman, and, you know, hopes to be on their baseball team. He's really excited. So Peter Hubeck is committed to go to Wake Forest, but is also going to get drafted by the MLB. So Jake, through his interactions with Gilman, has met these kids. When he went to Gilman to visit, Peter showed him around. Like, they had Hubeck show Jake around, which is cool. So yesterday, Jake is currently hurt, so he's not playing right now, but we were at Gilman for another event, and we're walking out, and the baseball team's practicing, and Peter Hubeck is in the bullpen, and he sees Jake walk. We're walking back to the car, right? And this guy is like one of the top pitchers in the country. Stops what he's doing, walks over to the net, calls Jake over, and says, "Hey, how are you doing? How'd your surgery go?" And just took time out of his day and said, "Hey, you're gonna be back. You'll be stronger than ever. Can't wait to have you here."
That's
right?
Huge.
Awesome.
So that's a check. You go check.
So I'm like, nice, wow, that's a high character kid.
So then you go to the game.
So then we go to the game yesterday, and it's packed. And he's just fun to watch. I mean, the kid throws, typically he's 93 to 95.
At 18.
17.
Yeah. 17 or 18.
Yeah. 18 years old, and he was hitting 97 yesterday.
Really?
And was unhittable. And he's not a big kid.
I think he struck out 13.
15. I was wrong. 15 in a 7-inning game. Struck out 15.
7-inning game, just the way the big leagues do it.
This is against a team who hasn't lost in the playoffs yet. So he's doing this against a good team.
15 strikeout.
And we're sitting there, and it's funny, and we're watching, and we're just like, this kid is just, he's so calm. He's got a great curveball. He's great mechanics. The atmosphere is phenomenal, which is, you know, kind of like we're coming out of COVID. That wouldn't have happened last year. It was really neat. And then we're sitting behind. We want to watch it from behind the backstop. So we're kind of sitting behind the crowd a little bit watching. And we look up, and there's about 10 guys with radar guns, you know, on every pitch.
Making sure it's 97.
Yeah, exactly.
All these scouts are like, boom, boom. And after the first inning, he's like, or second inning, he struck out to side. made everybody look silly, and you see two scouts just leave, and I said, well, I guess they saw enough.
Yeah. Yeah, so, they can go get a crab cake.
Yeah. I'm going to State Fair right now because I know that this kid's. No, it was a really cool, really cool experience. It's just great to go to a high school.
97.
Yeah, and I mean, the hard part is that, like, the other kid for John Carroll pitched a great game, too. I mean, it was 0-0 going into the sixth inning. He's pitching great. But compared to 97, yeah, I mean, he's probably...
They used to say that about McGregor, too. He'd go out there and face Ryan. They'd be like, he's not breaking glass. Well, it's the seventh inning. It's 2-1 game.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, the other kid was by throwing 85 to 88. Well,
equal opportunity to give some public schools some love, too. You, one of the best experiences you ever had was being a lacrosse coach.
Yes.
Catonsville High School, incredible success. Yes. Tell us a little bit. They're, like, phenomenal this year, right?
They are. You know, they got...
High School lacrosse.
Yeah, K.R. Schultz has been the head coach there for the last 2 or 3 years, and he does a phenomenal job. And the best thing that he does, you know, K.R., we started primetime lacrosse camp. He's continued that. He's very involved with the kids in the community. He's a great guy. Kids like him. And there was a bunch of kids who are juniors now who could have gone to any private school.
Said they're Division I prospects.
Well, they've already signed. I mean, they have juniors that are already, you know, their goalie, Brian Ruppel, is one of the best goalies in the country. He's going to Maryland. Another kid, James Asbel, is going to Towson.
Good Lord.
So they got some, and they got some other kids that are just studs. They are legit state championship contender.
What's this legacy you left behind?
No. I mean, I had great teams. I had great kids. We still hold the record for most wins in the season.
See that?
We do. But I will say that this is KR's program, because after I left, it took a dive, you know, and it needed to be. It needed somebody like KR to come in to kind of, like, revive it and keep these kids home. And KR's done that. And
I saw the other
and
day.
And it couldn't happen to a better guy. And I think they're a legit state championship contender. And if anybody local is out there that's listening, go watch Catonsville High School play. Because I know everybody's focused on private schools, but I'm telling you, you got some big-time players there, and they're worth a look.
Well, when I saw the other day, I mean, I've watched Catonsville lacrosse for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. And Perry Hall's typically pretty good as well. I mean, everybody goes up and down. But, you know, Catonsville, Perry Hall, they go back and forth. Perry Hall wins some. Catonsville wins some. 10-9, 10-7. I think they beat Perry Hall 20-0, and somebody told me he called the dogs off.
Yeah.
I mean, he.
Well, they beat Towson yesterday 7-6. You know, that was a great game against two high-level teams, and they won 7-6. And Ruppel apparently was insane in the goal. And, you know, when you got one of the best, maybe the best goalie in the country, it helps. But, you know, but it's culture. You know, it's like your business, Evan. Mm-hmm. It's like my business. It's, you know, it's all about culture.
By the way, I turned around today. Beth had everything, like, set up. So get out of the way. You know, like, literally here. So, like, oh, everything was set up. I mean, you got people here.
You create.
Hey, man.
I turned around. Jeff, it just happened.
Jeff's talking about culture. And we got to get him out of here because he's got to go to work. We'll wrap up this segment.
Yes, so my conduct.
We got to wrap this. But I got to tell you, and I told Evan before we came on the air, and we got Kirby Spencer ready to come on and talk about all things arts and culture in Catonsville. For those people who were here, Nestor, talking about culture, Mother's Day morning, if people will flash back, it was 38 or 39 degrees.
It was cold.
Now, we look around here, a lot of people that expected to be sitting outside on Mother's Day
wanted to feel like this.
Wanted to be sitting outside, and it was so cold, you'd have needed 3 winter coats, so nobody could sit outside. I told Evan, I texted him later that day, somehow, UMBC's graduating down the street. On Mother's Day, his manager somehow and his wait staff and his people in the kitchen managed to shuffle reservations from all morning and inside without missing a beat. Jeff was with us. Evan, how does that happen? I really want to. I want you to break that down for me, because
he's like, I don't know. I was rockfish.
I don't understand. Right? I don't. Yeah, tell us about the 48.
It was 72 and sunny. I was on the boat.
Well, his wife just caught a 48 inch.
Oh, my wife caught the biggest fish I've ever seen.
48 inch rockfish.
Yeah, 48
but
inches.
How in the world does your manager make that happen on Mother's Day? What's the key to that?
Honestly, it's the people coming in are very patient with us, so if they're willing to wait a little bit, we can shift things around and get people where they want to go. But it's like a perfect storm of what you don't want to have happen on a shift. You know, it was perfect all week, and it looked like it was going to be decent. We woke up in the morning, it was 39 degrees, and everybody that wanted to be outside needed to be inside, and It's a very hard thing to do. Make it look easy.
Remarkable.
I gotta tell you, man, the family meals that you have at El Guapo in here are phenomenal. We've done the firecracker shrimp salmon,
yeah.
Oh, and it's like $35.
Yeah. The taco box over there is phenomenal. It's more food than you could ever have.
Next show we're doing at El Guapo. I need margaritas.
I haven't even had
a crab cake.
I agree with Jeff though.
I'm demanding.
It's amazing.
I agree with Jeff. If you haven't ordered the family meals, you eat them all week, right?
I mean, you it's not one night. I mean, and I have a teenage kid and two boys, so we're they're crushing it. And the enchilada dinner.
Those are great.
And that does last you a couple days.
Safe to say that the 9-year-old eats more than the 13-year-old?
No. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Evan, we're going to get a crab cake later. Remind me to tell you my rockfish story, because I was at Fadley's last week, and they sent me home with a piece of rockfish, and I played like Guy Fieri. I played games with it. I bammed it a little bit.
I'm ready.
I saw that fish
you
had. I'm ready. I'm a changed man on rockfish. I'm ready to go there. Evan Brown runs State Fair in El Guapo, and a soon-to-be-named place down the street. Don Moeller, of course, is here. His lad, Jeff Moeller, is going to sell my condo. I'm going to admit this one more time. I want you to be the witness, okay? I got him beer senior week, Ocean City, and he doesn't know about it.
He does now. So does all of Baltimore.
What year was that?
1994.
Hey, here are the secrets. My daughter to this day maintains that she made all the mistakes, and Jeff learned, and she'll claim the only thing that was different between her getting
in trouble. I did not get her a beer. She didn't like me enough.
She'll claim the only thing different is when she spent her entire life being grounded and up in her room was that Jeff figured out how to not
get was a lot smarter.
Should have told her she was nicer to me. I got in her beer. Right?
Well, Jeff there. Never got in trouble, did he?
Nobody
get in trouble because I got him the beer.
My daughter Jennifer just rolls her eyes when people said, but Jeff never got in trouble. She just shakes her head.
All I thought about when I went and got you the beer that day on 28th Street was, someone did this for me. So, you know, that's all I got.
Pay it forward.
And with that, we're out of here.
27 years ago. There's no.
I was 21, right?
We're going to come back. We're going to have crab cakes. Tell me what else is coming up. Be a real radio guy here. Advance the next segment.
We have a big day. We got Kirby Spencer coming up, local businesswoman involved in all things Catonsville, one of the real shakers.
I met her on Zoom once.
Shakers and bakers in the arts and cultural institution. Here in Catonsville and the designation of an arts district. She has an exciting new project that she's involved in. She's going to share us about.
Does it involve music?
It involves music. Could be one of the most exciting things to happen in Catonsville.
Do I get to sing in the next segment?
In a long time. We got Lou Weinkamp coming on to talk about family law.
I have. No offense to you, Evan. I have. And Liz, I'll admit this to you. Probably should admit it. Well, when Lou's going to come by, probably have a crab cake. There is half a bookmaker in my refrigerator right now. I stopped and grabbed it on the way home the other day. And my cat, it's just, and Lou hates that I say this, my cat is in love with the shrimp from the bookmaker at Franco's. I have evidence. I have the cat on the wheel. My cat, I have to get the bookmaker because my cat loves it.
That's a good sales pitch.
When we have Lou on, I'll talk, because he also has one of our go-tos, and we'll talk about it when Lou's on. And then we have Delegate Eric Ebersole and Delegate Pat Young, and Pat's going to make a big announcement. Some people know what's going on. So it's a big day here on the Crab Cake Tour in Catonsville.
Chicken and waffles for breakfast, crab cakes for lunch.
It's not a bad day.
Probably an orange crush somewhere around here to celebrate Brooks Robinson's birthday. What do you think?
Oh, there we go. Happy birthday, Brooksy.
Happy birthday, Brooksy. I'm having an orange crush. We're at State Fair. We're back for more. depending on if all of our stuff taped or not, I'm still working on that after this.